I'll be frank. We know that Christmas is 4 weeks away. We know that Jesus has come. But this whole season is built on the idea of hope. So I feel it's kind of hard for us to really cultivate the sense of hope when we already know that things are done. Like, we already know Christmas is coming, we already know Jesus came, big whoop, move on. But we really do need to recultivate that sense of hope and really bring it to its fore, to spend these 4 weeks building that sense of hope. So to really help you grasp the gravity of the hopefulness we need to both cultivate and experience in these first 2 weeks of Advent, and especially the whole season of Advent, I want to draw back the Old Testament. And the reason why I'm going back to the Old Testament is because these are people who didn't know when Jesus would come, who didn't know when to be hopeful, and struggled with it for most of their history. So going way back, I'm going all the way back to Abraham. And the reason why I go to Abraham is he's the father of the faith. He's the first one to experience God. Think about that for a moment. He's the first one. That means everything else he knew was the Canaanite religions with statues of gods and different kinds of worship, and you can see them. They're right there. God's not like that. You can't really see him. He had to kind of guess in a way. And his whole faith was built on this divine, this dynamic relationship with God that led him to where he is. The most prominent part to really recognize what I mean by this hope that Abraham had was when he was given the promise. In one of the covenants, he was given the promise that his descendants would be more numerous than the stars of the sky, and that one day they would populate the whole earth, and that they would bring the kingdom of God to what it is. So to make this point clear, God took him outside and said, "Count the stars if you can. It's daylight. You can't see the stars." What a better expression of hope than to try and count the stars in the daylight. We all know they're there somewhere. We just can't see them. So to recognize that is the hope Abraham felt. He believed in God. He trusted him. And he kept his hope firmly rooted in God. As things progressed further, the Israelites were in Egypt and the desert, where they were hopeful that they had reached the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the one that would be peace for them, no more wars. What happened? They eventually got to the Holy Land. What was it not? Flowing with milk and honey and peaceful. It was not peaceful at all. They fought wars up until the present age. That particular chunk of land called Israel has always been in conflict at every moment in history, except for 40 years. That says something. So they had their hope, and it was dashed against a rock. But they didn't lose that hope. They kept building it. And as the prophet Jeremiah told us today, here are these people that are wandering through a faith journey with God, slowly losing their hope, slowly losing their sense of who God is. But really, God kept invigorating it. Day by day, kept encouraging them to know what it would be like when he finally brings these things to completion. They will eventually be at peace. They will eventually have their land. God will eventually be one with his people. So what happens next? They go into exile. Lost, taken from their land, the one thing they held so dear. And to get a sense of the hopelessness and the drudgery they felt, the psalmist captivates it well in this particular passage. "By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept. There on the poplars we hung our trees. There our captors, they asked us for songs. Sing for us the songs of the Lord. How could we sing the songs of the Lord on alien soil?" Hear the despair, hear the hopelessness they felt as they are alienated from their land, put somewhere they didn't anticipate, and the promises are gone. Well, by God's providence, Persia rises and sends them back free, and those final chapters of the book of Isaiah show the great joy they have when the promise is fulfilled. But it really wasn't. In 70 AD, when Jesus had already been born, died, rose from the dead, Rome came, destroyed the temple for the last time, and it was not rebuilt. Scattered the Jews across the world, and their hope went somewhere else. But our hope has changed at that point. Our hope became Jesus. And now our hope also needs to take on the same characters as the Jewish people did. For we too experience the ebb and flow of that hopefulness and hopelessness. In the midst of our world, we have a lot of things that can destroy our hope very quickly. Read the news, watch the news, whatever it may take. There's a lot of darkness that we experience, and it sounds much like what Jesus was mentioning in today's gospel. The signs of the end times, these things of great destruction that we are faced with day in, day out. But there's one message we have to keep clear. We are to be people of hope. We are to be people that recognize that one centrality of our faith, that Jesus has come and has promised that he would be with us till the end of the age, that all things will be summed up in him. He will bring that age of peace so prophesied long ago. He will bring in the land flowing with milk and honey. We have reason to hope, and therefore we must become people of hope. Jesus said it well also in today's gospel. Do not be carried along by drunkenness and carousing, and the anxieties of daily life get to you. We have a lot of things that can easily diminish our hope, extinguish it like a candle. But what he's making one point very clear is that if we want to be people of hope, we have to work towards it. It's not an easy route. We have to be constantly vigilant, watching ourselves, instilling that virtue of hope day in and day out, and not letting the anxieties of daily life get to us. So the big question is, how do we do that? Because we do need to cultivate that. And the foundation to which hope is built is God. As the psalmist says very well, do not put your hope in princes. Do not put your hope in leaders. Do not put your hope in horses or in shields or swords. They will not work. They will ultimately fail you. And I think we have experience of that. Our hope must be rooted in God. Our trust must be in God. And once we have that firm foundation and know that God will take care of everything, then it just builds from there. Because once we root ourselves in God, the expression of that is prayer. So if you're someone who already prays regularly, continue to pray for that gift of hope. Let your prayer inspire you to recognize what God has done and what he will eventually accomplish. If you're not someone who prays regularly, don't worry about it. Go for it. Let the moments of prayer, simple as they are, start to cultivate that hope. Even as simple as this. Lord, I need hope. I feel hopeless. What a great prayer. Recognize who I am, recognize what I need. I am the hopeless one, and I need hope. Boom. That's simple. Because once we continue to do that, once we start to cultivate that sense of hope and keep working at it day in and day out, these anxieties, these problems of the world lose their power. Because we know that they are just passing away and that our hope is in God. He will supply everything. My brothers and sisters, we need to become people of hope. We need to shed a bright ray into this darkened world. We need to be people who continually and diligently cultivate this virtue in our lives, praying for it, striving for it, not letting it diminish, but constantly grow in our lives, that we may know of God's ever-presence. We may know that he will cultivate everything and bring it into himself, and that one day everything will be at peace. Jesus will come back. He will save everything. And we need to keep our minds focused on that. So let us spend these 4 weeks of Advent focusing extensively on hope, that this hope may grow in our lives and cultivate in such a way that it permeates all that we do, that we become people of hope and shed and spread that light and that hope to the entire world.